Happy New Year again, everybody. Like I said, it is great to be back here. We enjoyed our time away, but after about a week, I think we all feel like it's ready. It's time to get home, and we really enjoy being here with you all. It's a great way to begin the new year, I think, to come together to celebrate Jesus and giving thanks for the life we have in Him, celebrating communion as we did, remembering His sacrifice. And even as we take time to enjoy the fellowship we have together with Him today, what a great way to begin the year. What I'd like to do today is begin this year with some reflection on life, thinking about what really matters, and considering how we can start this next year, this 2015 strong. A new beginning is always a great time to just stop and think about where we're going, where we've been, think about the new things we want to accomplish. Maybe some obstacles we want to overcome in our lives, some challenges we want to take on. Really, that's the great thing about the new year. It's really the motivation I think we so often have to set those goals for a new year. We want to make some new commitments. We want to make some changes. And this new beginning gives us an opportunity to stop and kind of mark where time is to start something new. But many of the resolutions we make each year are really good personal goals that we make to try to improve our lives. You know, very often one of the top ones is to have better health, maybe eat better, maybe lose some weight, get some exercise routines going. Sometimes people make commitments to further education, reaching some reading goals I know some people have. Maybe you make a commitment to having a more positive attitude, giving more thanks for things. Those are all really good things that we like to resolve to do, and they make a good difference in our lives. It can be really life-changing if we stick with them. But as we were traveling around this past week, and I was thinking about this new year, the kinds of commitments we make, I really started asking myself, what matters most? What are the biggest and most important and significant changes we could make as we make a commitment for a new year? I got to thinking about what our purpose was in traveling. Our big reason was to go see family, to go spend time together as a family. Some of you know we went down to Wisconsin, first of all, to see Wendy's family, and then we went down to Tennessee after that to see my family, and then took our time coming back just to be a family together, stop in St. Louis. It was a great time to see some new things, to spend some time with people that we love, make some new experiences together to really build our bonds as a family. That's how, you know, how important family is. On our way home, we even experienced the loss of life. We have some friends who lost some loved ones over this holiday season. It gave us time to reflect on the value of life and how important one another is. And I started to think about those relationships are really what matters most. The people in our lives are extremely valuable. The kinds of relationships we have with them make a huge difference. We can have a big impact on one another, either for the good or for the bad. And when you think about families, so often when we think about the bad, don't we? We think about the conflicts that can arise, the situations that can come up when we come together. But our families really help shape us. They shape who we are. Our parents and our siblings have an impact on us. Whether your natural siblings or adopted families, they all have a huge impact on who we are and how we relate to life, how we relate to other people. You can extend this to the cousins, extend it to church members. We are a huge family here. We have an effect on one another. All those people around you have a big impact on who you are and who you become, so we don't have to stay the same always. Parents, the conversations you have with your kids now and the way you interact with them now is shaping who they're going to be as they become adults. And as adults, we continue to have that impact on one another, as I said, both for the good and the bad. We can choose the way we'll impact one another. And all those things matter so much more than anything else. It's those relationships that matter. And so as we step into the new year, I really want to think about, encourage you to think about the people in your life. Are there changes that you want to make in those relationships? Are there greater commitments you want to make? Bonds you want to grow stronger? And as you consider those relationships, you have to stop and realize, too, that there's one relationship that matters more than all of them. Just one of those relationships is going to have the greatest impact on who you are. It's going to affect the way you relate to those other people. Just one relationship is going to make all the difference in whether you, in the type of lasting impact you have on people's lives. It'll teach you to have a positive impression. When you come to the end of your life, think about the kind of statements people will make about you. What kind of impression do you want to make? There's one relationship in your life that will have the biggest impact on what those people say. And that, of course, is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you consider all those relationships we talk about, whether family or friends or church family, as great as those connections are and as much as we value them, there are going to be moments of conflict or doubt in those relationships. We're going to have disagreements about things, and it's going to leave us uncertain about how to move forward together. We're going to have different ways of handling those disagreements, which could create further conflict sometimes. But it's a reality of any human relationship. And if you don't have conflict, you're going to have doubt. You're going to feel uncertain about where you fit in, where you belong, whether you're really loved and valued by others. That so often is what we deal with when we get together with our extended family, people we haven't seen over a while. They remember who we once were. We start to fall into the roles we once had as kids, and it can be a challenge to come together as adults again and to not have those doubts and uncertainty about what people think about you. And it seems so easy when we get together to fall into those roles and get caught up in conflicts and doubts. Now, that can lead to ongoing anger and bitterness and separation. It can really break down those relationships. But when you have a strong relationship with the Lord, He gives you hope, even when there's conflict and doubt. When you trust in Him and you know that His Spirit is working within you and guiding you, you can overcome those things that separate you from other people. He's the one that can really help build up those other relationships. He can guide us through the conflicts, and He can erase the doubts. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, He makes you into a new creation. You no longer have to be tossed around by all those relationship challenges that come along, but rather become somebody new, become a representative of Christ, somebody who brings grace and love and peace into the world, into others' lives. Knowing Jesus and knowing Him well has a significant impact on how we relate to others. So as you process all the things of 2015 and the goals that you want to accomplish, I want to encourage you to remember that one relationship that will make all the difference in everything else, that relationship with the Lord. And having a strong relationship with Him isn't something that just happens automatically when you receive Christ through salvation through Christ. It's something that takes time and effort and prayer and patience. It takes building up of your relationship with Him. So that's the relationship I want to spend the rest of the time considering today. I'm going to begin that by looking at Psalm 1 together. So if you would open up your Bibles to Psalm 1. I'm going to read the whole thing together. It's not that long, just 6 verses. If you need help finding the Psalms, just open your book up right to the middle. The Psalms are usually right in the middle of the Bible. And find the very first Psalm. If you read through your newsletter already, you're going to see that we're going to have a series of reflections on the Psalms coming up. And we have started with Psalm 1 already this week. So keep an eye out for those. But let's read Psalm 1 right now. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that with the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." We need to consider that image for a minute of a tree planted by streams of water. Right? Think about a tree that has such an abundant source of nutrients. Its roots can grow deeply into the riverbed and absorb the abundance of, of, of nutrients the river provides. That stream continues to flow, providing an ongoing supply of water, no matter what else might be happening around that tree. And that stream carries minerals and other nutrients down, constantly replenishing what's present. So that tree has all that it needs, an abundance, and continues to grow and grow well. Even if the air is dry and the sun is beating down, that tree won't wither because of the stream. When it has a healthy supply of all of it needs, it continues to grow strong and sure. It produces good fruit in its time. It spreads its seeds, reproducing itself, reproducing new life around it. And it provides good nourishment to those who take of its fruit. That's the kind of life that a relationship with the Lord can provide for you. It's the kind of relationship a person can have when they build a strong relationship with the Lord. One who delights in the law of the Lord, as this psalm says. One who meditates on it day and night. Meaning, you're always thinking of the Lord's ways. The Lord's will is always on your mind. When somebody is living like that, in such intimate relationship with the Lord, they're like that tree growing by a stream. Their life is prosperous and full. They have all that they need. Not a worry. They won't wither away when the world gets difficult, when challenges come before them. And they produce fruit in season, reproducing good life and goodness around them, sharing God's grace and peace, as I said, and providing good nourishment to those who come near. That's the kind of person I want us to all encourage and strive to be in this new year. Over Christmas, we talked about that great gift that God has given us through Jesus' birth. He came to offer us salvation and forgiveness of sin. He gave us eternal life with God and the ongoing presence of His Spirit. And all of those who have received that gift by humbling ourselves before God and putting our faith in Jesus have been given an amazing opportunity to not merely be saved from our sin, but have an abundant life. A life like that tree growing by streams of water. And we need to make a choice to grab hold of that life, though. We need to let our roots sink in. We need to grow strong and feed upon the nourishment that Jesus provides us. We do have a choice of how we're going to grow and whether we will grow. I want to encourage you to take that opportunity. The Apostle Paul had this same encouragement for us in the letters he wrote to the churches in Ephesus and Colossae. I'm going to share a couple of verses from those letters this morning as well. So let's take a look at Colossians 2, first of all, verses 6 and 7. That says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in your faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Just let those words soak in for a moment as you consider that image of the tree and how God wants us to grow. Being rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in your faith, and overflowing with thanksgiving. And then just flip over to Ephesians 3, and you'll read a similar statement, verses 16 through 19. Ephesians 3, 16. "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." He uses some great superlatives there. Boy, those are some... That's a tough word, I'm sorry. "But you may know the surpassing knowledge of God, be filled to all measure of all the fullness of God." That's what God invites us into if we grab hold of that life. Being rooted and established in love. Let those roots sink in. It's a choice we need to make. We need to grab hold of God's love and understand how wide and how long and how deep that love is. Have Christ dwell in your hearts. means being rooted and grounded in his love and gaining and growing in and comprehending that love. It means taking in his nourishing words over and over, letting them fill your whole being. Not just knowing them, but grabbing hold of them and living them. This is how we truly prosper. And I have one final verse where Jesus himself expanded on this idea of being prosperous and living through him with a similar analogy. This is in John chapter 15. John 15, verses 3 through 8. Well, you know what? I'm going to start right at the beginning. Verse 1 through 8. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself if you must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And what really struck me at the beginning of this in verse 3 is where Jesus said, you are already clean because of my word, and because of the word I have spoken to you. And then he goes on to encourage us to remain in him, or as the English Standard Version says, abide in me. He makes a good distinction here. When you have heard the word of Christ, when you've received his gift of salvation, his forgiveness, you're already made clean. You can be assured of that. Your faith in Christ has cleansed you. But there's more. There's so much more that you can have. Don't just settle for merely being forgiven of sin. Abide in him. Remain in him. Bear fruit by remaining in him. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He is the one from whom the nourishment comes. He is the one that has the strong roots and provides all that we need. We're the branches hanging out on the end of the vine. We need him for our nourishment. We need to draw close to him. We need to be connected to him. All the branches get their nourishment through that vine. We're unable to produce the fruit that we want. We're unable to produce the changes we want. We're unable to have the kind of positive impact in the world that we want unless we are nourished by the vine, by Jesus himself. So I want to encourage you to take this gift that you've been given and make the most of it. God has given you an opportunity to be so much more than just somebody who's been forgiven and told that everything is okay. Don't let your life in Christ just wither and be fruitless. Be strong in him. Abide fully in him and develop strong roots in him. If there's anything you're going to do this year, let this be your goal. To be strong in your abiding in Christ. You might ask, what does that look like? How do you abide well in Christ? And there's basic things that we talk about all the time that you can do to help you develop that relationship. The first of all, of course, is reading your Bible. Ask yourself how you're doing with your daily Bible reading. And I encourage you to let it be a daily practice. If you're truly going to have God's words in you, you need to feed on that daily. There are lots of great resources out there. We have some here. There's resources online. There's everywhere. There's resources to help you develop good Bible reading habits. Start a new Bible reading plan today. Develop that habit in your life. Ask God to give you the craving for his word. If you find yourself, I've found myself at times, going through a dry spell where I've read the Bible and I'm sitting there thinking, I've read this how many times? And you start to feel like you're not getting anything from it. Take that time to pray and ask God to give you that fire again. He will do that. And he will show you new riches within his word. He will strengthen you with reminding you of things that you've already heard before. Make sure that you're reading in this. Make sure you're growing even more by sharing it with others. I encourage you to get involved in a study. We have a few here already going. There are people here who could start a new group, but it's so much more significant when you can share what you're reading with one another and get insights from one another. And of course, just continue to take in good Bible teaching. It's a big part of what we do here each Sunday, to try to share God's word to help us all be rooted well in Him. You abide well in Christ when you develop your prayer time. It should be personal, ongoing communication with God that we develop. Make sure you take some time out of your busy life to just focus for a moment on God and your relationship with Him. Draw close to Him. Make sure that when you have struggles in your life, that He's the first person that you turn to. Develop that prayer interaction. It's good for us to have corporate or fellowship times of prayer. And this month, we're starting a monthly prayer gathering here at church. On January 29th, I think, is our first one. I encourage you to come to those. It's not enough for us to just pray on our own, I don't think. It helps build one another up and build those prayer habits when they come together. So come to those prayer gatherings whenever you can. I meet for prayer right here in the office every Sunday morning, right around 9:30. I welcome anyone to come join us for that. Or any other time you can get together with other people. Pray with your family. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your kids. Develop those prayer habits, because it's in prayer and through prayer that we draw close to God. We process what we read in the Word. We think about God's plans for us. Prayer isn't just for us to come and ask God for help. It's time for us to really come close to Him, to understand His will, to understand what He's doing in our lives. We always encourage you to develop fellowship with other Christians. Notice in those first two things, Bible reading and prayer time, there's a fellowship aspect to that, coming together with other people, because we've helped build one another up. Getting in fellowship with others gives you the environment where you know you're around people who are also filled with God's Spirit. You can assume that there's some grace and some forgiveness and some of God's presence, some of God's character among those people. It gives you a little bit of freedom to open up your life, to let God do some work, to share your fruit with others and let them share with you. One of the reasons we exist as a church is to be a source for growth in Christ. And so we create all these opportunities for you to gather together, not just to have fun, not just to meet friends, but to really share the fruit of your lives in Christ with one another and to continue to grow. I encourage you to embrace the life that God has offered to you, to seek to fully fulfill His purposes. Understand that God has a purpose for your life. He has a ministry calling for you. He wants you to produce fruit and to share that fruit with the world. Maybe this is the year that you discover a little bit of what that ministry calling is. Maybe there's something new that God wants you to do in your life. Maybe this is the year that you take that step of faith that you know God has been calling you to take, but you've just been uncertain how to begin it. Maybe just take it in faith this year. Grab hold of the life that He has offered you and make a difference for Him. He has given you what you need to begin the work. He may not have given you what you need to do all of it yet, but at least He's given you what you need to begin it. And He will continue to grow with you. He has a part for you to play in His work in this world. And all of these things, they're simple things that we talk about all the time. But you understand the purpose of all these things is to build us up, to help us be more fully rooted in Christ, to help us grow strong, to help us produce that fruit. Because this world is in great need of that fruit. And God has asked us to share it with them. This world is withering and lacking in the nutrients that Jesus provides. They don't have the abundance of nutrients that come from Him. People are out there trying to do it all on their own. They don't understand that they are the branches and Jesus is the vine. They need Him. So this is my encouragement for you today as you look at 2015, this year ahead of us, and consider changes you might make. I want you to understand the most important relationship in your life is the one that you have through faith in Jesus Christ. Grab hold of that life that He offers you. Abide fully in him. Let your roots grow deep and strong in him. Feed on the nutrition that comes from Christ so that you can truly prosper. You don't have a false prosperous that comes from this world, that you can truly prosper through Christ, that you will never wither away when challenges come your way, and that you will produce good fruit that affects not only you, but the people around you. I'm going to just repeat again the words that Jesus said. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. But abide in me, and I will remain in you. As the branch, you cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Let that be our commitment for 2015. Let's abide fully in him. Let's be rooted deeply in Christ. Discover the life that he has for us, both individually and together. Let's give him thanks for that opportunity as we close in prayer today. Let's continue to celebrate and build some of those bonds of fellowship as we share a meal together. Let's commit to taking hold of this life and living it to the full. Let's pray together, Lord. Lord God, thank you for your Son. Thank you for making us clean, first of all, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for giving us that faith to come before you, extending your grace to us. I pray that you would encourage us all to grab hold of that completely, Lord, to realize there's so much more than just being forgiven, that there is this abundant life that you want to provide for us, that comes through your word, through our relationship with you, through the presence of your Spirit in our lives, Lord. I pray that you would just melt away any hesitation that we have, Lord, any doubts that we might have. I pray that you would take away any pride that we might have that we're already doing all that we should be doing, Lord. Call us forth as your people into this world, Lord. Help us to understand we can't do it without you. I pray that you would fill each and every one of us this year more and more with your Spirit, with your word, and with the abundance that comes from being deeply rooted in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.